speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Have you ever thought about standing before the mirror and looking yourself and asking the question, how well do I really love the Lord? That may seem strange to ask, and perhaps all of us in some way believe that we love the Lord. We may attend religious services on some occasions and feel that there is a God. We bow our heads in thanks unto God as we sit down to eat, perhaps. May give to the sick and the needy and lend a helping hand to our neighbors in need. And we would say, God bless America. And someone says to us, is this not showing that we really love the Lord? But I want to ask, we cannot ask this question without maybe flashing through our minds some of the things for which we should love the Lord. Look at our hands, our feet, our whole body. We're made to realize that if it were not for the grace of God, we could not make a move nor have a thought. The Apostle John, speaking of Christ in John 1 verse 3, says all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that hath been made. And the 10th verse, He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Apostle Paul says in Colossians 1, verse 16 and 17, for in Him were all things created in the heavens and upon the earth, things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things have been created through Him and unto Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. It is of the Father that Paul says, that in Him that we live and move and have our very being. The birds of the heaven, the beasts of the field, the fish of the sea, all were created for our use. And God hath clothed the earth in grass and trees and herbs, and set the sun in the sky by day and the moon by night, all for our blessings. There's not a thing that we do or enjoy or think that is not through the grace of God. But man from the very beginning of time has rebelled. Man has cursed and rejected his Creator. And in the face of all this rejection, we see the great manifestation of God's love and His willingness to give His Son that we might have hope of life everlasting. Have you ever felt the full import of John 3:16? Yes, that golden text of the Bible, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want us to pause for a moment and think of a father giving up his son. Not that God the Father gave up the son only to a life of poverty and a death of shame and to be buried in a borrowed tomb. But He gave up His son that He might save men. He gave to save men and women who have by their own will alienated themselves from the Father. It could not have been anything other than love that would prompt such action. And I believe that love is so great that it's beyond our full comprehension. Not only did God love us, but His Son Jesus Christ also loved us. The Hebrew writer tells about Christ's love when he says, though He was a son, yet learned obedience by the things which He suffered, and being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them who obey Him. And again, the Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 2, verse 5 through verse 8, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a servant. And being made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, becoming obedient even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. Yes, friend, Christ died for us because He loved us, and He has given It was given by God the Father because of the Father's great love for you and for me. All that is right and all that is good within man cries out that God is love and that His Son is the manifestation of that love. But that love becomes even dearer when we recognize that neither God nor Christ waited until we had perfected ourselves in moral goodness. They did not wait for us to turn to them and seek their favor, but gave and died while we were yet sinners. Christ died as much for the murderer as he did for the law-abiding citizens. He died as much for those who drove the nails through his hands and through his feet as he did for you and for me. And just think of the love that it must have taken to move even the Son of God, who was denied and betrayed by some that were closest to him. Those who heard thousands and words, and those who were blessed by the miracle of his healing, and then some of them crying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Those he loved so much that he was willing to endure the sting of the whips and the ridicule of those for whom he died. He had to bear his own cross, and after having his hands and feet pierced with spikes, was lifted in the heat of a noonday sun to die the painful, shameful death of crucifixion. I say, imagine the love that must have motivated Christ, who endured all these things, to say in the very moment of anguish, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Oh, what wondrous love that was shed for you and for me. And then, friend, hear the words of the Apostle Paul, as he said in Romans 5, verse 6. "For while we were yet weak, in due season Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Is there any soul too cold or any heart too hard that would not bow down realizing the wondrous love and cry out in the words of the poet, "Forbid it, Lord, lest I should boast, save in the death of Christ my Lord. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice to his blood." And see from his head, his hands, his feet, love and sorrow flow mingled down. Did e'er such love or sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, and that were a present far too small, love so amazing, love so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. May we pause and again just ask, how well do you love the Lord? We read a moment ago where the writer of Hebrews said that God loved us enough that he was willing to learn obedience. And Christ explicitly said in John 14, verse 15, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." Then again in verse 23 and 24, Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my words, and the words which you hear is not mine, but my Father's who sent me." And then in chapter 15, verse 14, "You are my friends if you do the things which I command you." Then this places upon us a great responsibility. And that is, if we love the Lord, we will obey him, even as he loved us, and was willing to learn obedience by the things which he suffered. One writer has said, "He loves not Christ at all who does not love Christ above all." Would you agree or disagree? He loves not Christ at all who does not love Christ above all. Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 37, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." So friends, I am not wrongfully judged when I tell you that if you do not place Christ above all else and have not obeyed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you do not really love the Savior of all mankind. Today, your love for Christ is being tested by your willingness to obey the things that He has commanded. My faith and my love is tested the same way. Your love is being tested in your willingness to believe that He is the Son of the living God. The Hebrew writer says in chapter 11, verse 6, "Without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." But not only is your love being tested by your willingness to believe that He is the Son, but by your willingness to turn aside from your sins and to repent. The Apostle Paul in Acts 17:30 said, "The times of this ignorance God winked at," or God overlooked. "But now He commandeth all men everywhere to repent, inasmuch as He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, and that He hath raised Him from the dead." And then again, friend, your love is being tested in your willingness to confess Him before men. There were many who believed in Christ during His lifetime on earth, but they didn't love Him enough to confess Him. John 12, 42 and 43, "Nevertheless, even of the rulers, many believed on Him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. And how sad, they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." So again, is your love being tested by your willingness to submit your will unto the Lord's will, upon your faith, upon your repentance, upon your confession, and then to be baptized for the remission of sins? On the day of Pentecost, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Peter commanded, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Then may I, with all the kindness possible, tell you that if you have not believed, you have not repented, you have not confessed, you have not been buried with your Lord in baptism, that in really, you don't love the Lord. But more than that, if you have done these things, and then fail to continue faithfully in your service and worship to Him, do you really love the Lord? I want to ask yourself the question, do I love the Lord enough that I will be willing to be nothing more, nothing less than a Christian, as they were in New Testament times? In Acts 11, verse 26, the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Again, do I love the Lord enough that I will be willing to just be a member of the New Testament church? Realizing the truth found in the words of the Apostle Paul, Galatians 1, verse 7 and 8, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach unto you any other gospel than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." So I ask, do I love the Lord enough that I want to worship Him just as He commanded us to worship? That I want to give, to sing, to pray, to study, to grow, and to mature? The fact is that if I am not willing to do just as the Lord has commanded me, I can't honestly say that I love the Lord. There could be no greater joy than for every one of you listening today to resolve right now that this day, I'm going to show my love for Christ. That if there's something lacking, I will obey His will. I do anything within my power to direct the Lord to guide me, and He guides us through His Word. Friend, won't you do that today? Heeding His loving and tender voice? Responding to that sacrificial love and that death? We're praying and pleading that there are people who are honestly willing to say, I love the Lord, I'm going to do His will.